Hi, and welcome to my podcast, I Shouldn't Say This, But. My name is Katie Leeson, and it's my absolute pleasure to welcome James Routledge onto the podcast today. James co-founded Sanctus, a purpose-driven organisation that supports employee mental health through proactive and preventative one-to-one coaching in the workplace. He's also the author behind Mental Health at Work, a book that's filled with stories, learnings, and guidance for anyone on their mental health in the workplace journey. In this episode, we discuss the culture of permission arising around mental health, social media as a force for good in the mental health fight, and also why rest doesn't only mean sleep. So I hope you enjoy. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of I Shouldn't Say This, But. James, thank Hello. You so much for joining me. And in person, this is amazing.
I know, it's exciting.
It's so exciting. We'd said before, didn't we? We've not actually met in person. It's always been over Zoom. So do you want to, before I start babbling on, would you like to introduce yourself to everyone, please?
I can do. Yeah, it's weird doing this.
I know. In person.
It's fun. It's fun. I'm James. I don't know where to start. I'll be honest, I find introducing myself so weird. I'm like, what should I say first? What's actually relevant? But I suppose what's relevant, what I'm most known for is, being the founder of Sanctus, which is a mental health business, mission to inspire people to work on their mental health like we do our physical health. And then most recently, author of a book called Mental Health at Work as
well.
Which
is a brilliant book. You should go buy it because... might find me in there as well.
Yeah, your name might be in there.
My
somewhere.
Parents were so chuffed.
Oh, good.
Mum, I'm in a book. It's a brilliant book, though. I love being part of it as well. I think it was so important. We'll go on to mental health at work a bit later. Yeah. But the thing that I really want to start with is how you see the relationship between social media and mental health, because I'm trying to raise the profile of the positives around social. We know there are negatives, but there is also positives that aren't really talked about. Do you think that social can be a force for good when it comes to supporting people's mental health?
Yeah, in short. I like the way that you've already used the word relationship. That's a word I use a lot when I'm talking about mental health and social media, because I think social media is getting a lot of bad rep and gets a lot of blame. It's Facebook's fault or it's Instagram's fault. Now, Facebook, Instagram, those platforms do have a responsibility for how they regulate their content or whatever, but they are, those platforms can't take ownership for the way people feel. Our mental health is our responsibility. Like, yes, we are impacted by the world we're in and our environment, yet we also have agency and ownership. People can delete social media, they can block people, they can go off it. So I think relationship is really important, and I think everyone can take 5 seconds or 5 minutes to ask themselves how they are relating to social media. The screen time feature on your phone be a really
shame.
Scary mirror. Yeah. But I mean, just personally, like, social media has been a massive force for good for me. There's definitely there's times when I use social media in a way that I think negatively impacts me. I wouldn't blame social media for that. I think, if I'm tired or I'm feeling down or I'm not feeling good about myself, I might find myself, going through someone else's profile and seeing how many followers they've got or how well their brand's doing. And I'll use it as a mechanism to compare myself to others. But that's my insecurity being played out through social media. That's not social media's fault. The fault of social media is that they are exceptionally good at retaining my attention, which means I'm sort of in a battle against some extremely clever people out in sort of Palo Alto who want me to spend more time on their platforms, and they're probably going to win. So, I think a big part of my journey with my mental health and with starting Sanctus was all through social media. The first time I opened up publicly about my mental health was through a Medium blog post that I shared on Twitter and Facebook.
How did you feel when you put that out? Because I've done a similar thing and it was hard at first. How did you?
I felt completely, exhilarated, to be honest. Like, it was a massive relief. I think the backdrop of that for me was I'd created an image for myself of, always on, always hustling, like, never show weakness, A lot of my writing before had been about startups and raising investment, and it was all quite, it just had a certain tone to it, I suppose. There was a certain part of me. Not like I was lying, but I was just showing one aspect of myself. Mm-hmm. Not even so much the good bits, but the sort of quite fierce and like, this is how it should be. You know, this is wrong, and very like opinionated, and still kind of like, almost like this stoic view, like this strong, in quotation marks, view of myself. And, you know, I'd been struggling with my mental health. I'd been having panic attacks. I'd been feeling anxious. And, yeah, I just felt like I needed to show that side of me. And in a way, actually, I felt quite safe doing that on social. Mm. Like, you know, write a blog post, edit a blog post, put it out to the world, shut the laptop lid and go for a walk. Actually, for me, that was quite a manageable conversation. Whereas the thought at that stage in my life of sitting down with like my mate or my mum or a family member and my dad or, you know, anyone else and saying, oh, I've been having panic attacks, I'm really struggling. I don't think I was ready to do that, to be honest. So actually social media was a really, was quite a safe tool for me to use to kind of to be vulnerable, basically. And yeah, and then it was really well received and people were very supportive and people resonated, and that made me feel kind of listened to and understood and not alone and not like a weirdo and not crazy. And that was really, really beneficial. I wouldn't, you know, tell everyone to share their story on social media if they don't feel ready. I think it's different for different people, but for me, that was a really cathartic and positive outlet, basically.
That's amazing. It was similar for me. It's funny you say that about your family and your friends, because I did my episode on when I had a miscarriage, and it took me a while to get to that point to feel ready, that I was ready to talk about it. But I was doing it from a point of unfortunately, the way that it's dealt with is really poor. If it's your first one, you only really get help if you've had three. So the whole process for me wasn't great. And I just really didn't want someone else to go through a similar situation. So I did a podcast on it with a charity and did exactly the same thing, put it out, but I was petrified, right? Because you're talking about something that's really, really vulnerable. I haven't had the same conversations with my parents about it. Mm-hmm. I've just been like, right, that happened, I've moved on, it's done. Mm-hmm. Whereas that episode went out and the feedback was incredible. But I was the same as you. I just wasn't ready to do that. And it feels different, but it's bigger. It's really weird because I'm talking to hundreds of people, hopefully thousands, but you just never yet. Probably thousands. But like, I wasn't prepared to do that. Personally, it's very, it's funny you said that. It just sort of clicked with me then. I hadn't thought about it.
It's all about feeling. I think it's all about how safe you feel. So I think, you know, any conversation that requires some level of vulnerability also requires a level of safety. So like, you know, one might feel really safe with two of their mates down the pub, and that might be the platform or the place that, you know, you can have the conversation that you need to have. You know, for you, it might have been a podcast with a charity, and that there's no, that's probably a bit different to other people. Not many people have a podcast for a start. So, but that's, I suppose that's totally fine if that was, you know, the way that you needed to do it. For me, it was writing a public blog post. I don't know that many people that would do that, but that's what worked for me. I'll be honest, I actually felt a bit guilty for a while that, you know, that was where I shared first. I kind of felt like I should be speaking to my mates and my family before I speak to people I don't know on social media. But I've reflected on it since, and I'm like, nah, that's just where I felt comfortable. And actually it's led me to some, you know, wonderful conversations with the people that I'm close to in my life.
Amazing. So yes, social can be a real 100%. Force for good.
It's how you use it.
It is how you use it. It is. And it's, you're right. It's the relationship and the way you go into it. And I say this ever since we've done this episode, and the guys all know what I'm going to say now, but we did an episode with Lucy Sheridan, who's the comparison coach. And she said the most profound thing to me that stuck with me, that we go into social sometimes and we look at everyone else's feed. Like you say, you go and look, and depending on your mindset, you compare. And she said we should use it as a Pinterest board and a manifestation board rather than comparing. So you go on and you see, right, that person's got 15,000 followers. That's what I'm going to aim for. I'm going to look at that as an inspiration rather than a comparison. And she usually said that. I was like, that is incredible.
Yeah. You can just use it how you want to. Like, So for example, Instagram, which is probably the platform that when I'm on it, I find myself mindlessly scrolling through like reels, and obviously the algorithm's great. So it shows me the stuff that I spend time watching, whether that's stuff that is good for me or not. Mm. And, you know, but like a few years ago on social, on Instagram, I just unfollowed like anyone I didn't know. So I only follow people on there that I know and I've got a relationship with in real life. If I want to go and look at, you know, a footballer or someone, I just search their name and go and, you know, go and look at them. And actually, I mean, this is a bit narcissistic, but I basically deleted Instagram off my phone. And then when I've got something to say, I download it, I post on it, and then I delete it again. Because actually,
Stops that mindlessness.
Yeah, I use it really more as a communication tool for me to share what I'm up to. And I get my inspiration elsewhere. So you can just do, you can literally do, you know, can use it how you want, can't you?
Amazing. So in terms of that then, when you built Sanctus, which has now got, like, you've got over 20,000 followers on there, haven't you, for the business, how did you use social? And did you think about that from a business building point of view?
100%. I mean, definitely thought about storytelling, basically. I mean, the whole brand has been built through stories. Started with me sharing my story and then bringing a community of people together who also, you know, we're sharing their stories around mental health. So people are the essence of the brand, and people's stories, and how we can engage and relate and interact with people and get people to think and reflect on mental health and their mental health in a really different way. That's the whole essence of the brand. So stories have always been really, really important. I've always shared my story and my kind of day-to-day experience really pretty publicly. So yeah, I mean, it's a pretty conscious choice. Like from day one, it was, you know, let's use these platforms to share stories. And that's pretty much, I mean, the Sanctus brand has been built on social media through people sharing, you know, their experiences. So yeah, it was pretty deliberate, I would say. And again, I'd like to think that, you know, the people that follow Sanctus would say that over the years they've got value from following Sanctus, you know. We've talked about a whole range of topics that, you know, relate to mental health, from alcohol to drugs to sex, pregnancy, miscarriage, gender, race, you name it. And that's only a good thing. So and also interestingly, I suppose it's maybe a little, I don't know if it's unique, but I've always really encouraged the people who join Sanctus to share their story as well. So a lot of our team will also use platforms like LinkedIn to share their experience, which is great on multiple levels. Like it gives people an outlet, gives people the chance to build their own kind of audience and their own brand, I suppose. And it also allows people to see the people behind the brand.
It brings authenticity to what you're doing as well, doesn't it? If you're building a business around mental health, you've kind of got to live and breathe it.
Yeah, I think also like people just trust people more than they trust brands. So just from like a marketing perspective, if I'm a prospective customer of Sanctus, personally, I think it's as valuable for them to, you know, yes, maybe they find Sanctus through SEO and, you know, reach out via the contact form on the website, or do they see George Bell posting on LinkedIn and think, oh, he works in marketing for Sanctus, and I really relate to what he's just said. Mm. That's another brilliant touch point with the company.
Mm.
So yeah, I think it also makes just like a lot of business sense as well.
Social media for good, you see. And what do you think, like more broadly in terms of mental health and perception, do you think that it's changing now? I've seen a real shift in how people are talking on social about themselves. They're being a lot more vulnerable. Maybe that's the way the people I follow and the way the algorithm works, but definitely on TikTok and things where people are a lot more open and honest. I feel like it's becoming a bit more authentic than what it has been. Like when you said at the beginning, when you were first on it, you were promoting this lifestyle that you were doing, but it was also not the full picture. I think this year is going to be the year of more transparency.
I think we've been on that wave, haven't we, for like the last 3 or 4 years, I would say. Yeah, I mean, but social media is just reflective of culture, isn't it? So I suppose, you know, what people are sharing is where people are. It's, you know, social media is just a big highlight reel of like what's happening in the world. And yeah, I mean, I remember when, you know, I talked about sharing that blog post, you know, mental health and startups, February 2015. So it's nearly 7 years ago. Is that right? Yeah, bloody hell.
Yeah, we're in 2022, aren't we?
Yeah.
God.
Wow. That I feel like I've missed a year or something.
Two years.
Yeah, yeah. anyway, and I must admit, like, that was a really different kind of blog post. It just was like there wasn't really raw, really honest. I'm not saying there weren't people also writing like that. There were, and there were people that inspired me to be able to write in the way I did.
Mm.
There wasn't many though. There just wasn't. Like, you didn't see that many people sort of talking about like hard stuff or being upset or being sad. You just literally didn't. Like, so I do think that's massively accelerated, because I suppose it's the movement, and that's massively linked to, I think, the mental health movement we've seen in the last five years. It's, you know, it's a snowball. Mm-hmm. It's like, I saw Katie Leeson post about, you know, this topic. Oh, I feel like I can talk about that now. Like, I suppose there's just been this culture of permission has just being generated, which is so good.
Mm. It just needs people like us who haven't got an off switch.
Yeah.
I've got no filter.
Yeah, but
I don't know why though.
Yeah, but I'd describe that as being brave, to be honest.
Mm.
And, you know, being brave enough to say something that's kind of taboo or no one else is saying. And that does, it gives other people permission to do the same. So I think that there's definitely been a sea change, and that began 5 years ago. And I would, you know, I'd like to put myself in the camp of people that have used social media in a really different way and shared some of the difficult parts of their journey. And then, you know, that's rippled, and now it's more of the norm.
Yeah.
And that's only a good thing. And
definitely,
you know, long may that continue, really.
And get better and more conversations. And yeah, and I completely agree. We'll talk a little bit now. We'll do your admission submission, because I think it moves on quite nicely, because you've talked about where it started. But we'll talk an hour about, we'll go through what is next. So this podcast is called I Shouldn't Say This, But. Because in every episode, I try my best to open up with honesty and talk about subjects that someone in my position might usually avoid. So something like imposter syndrome, anxiety, miscarriage. Would you mind sharing with us your admission of something that you probably shouldn't say, whether that's struggles you faced during your career, secret about lockdown, something you're trying to overcome? So James, I shouldn't say this, but...
I shouldn't say this, but... I don't know what I'm doing with my life.
Ever. So not just now. So the reason that I segued from what we were talking about and where you'd been is because you're going through quite a big change in yourself, aren't you, at the moment? So you've stepped back from the business.
Yeah, for the most part. So I stepped to a board role. So I'm not part of Sanctus, you know, driving the business day to day. I don't have a functional role in the company. And I've got a board role where I continue to be connected with Sanctus and, you know, share my story, share the Sanctus story, contribute on the board to our direction and our values and our vision. But yeah, it's a big life change for me.
Mm.
I don't have a full-time job.
How does that feel?
Really weird.
Yeah,
really, really weird. And I'm still adjusting to it, and I'm still asking myself if I've done the right thing, you know, for me, for Sanctus. And yeah, I suppose, you know, I shouldn't say this, but I'm scared as well. Like, I'm a bit scared that I've made the wrong decision. It's not right for me. It's not right for the business. Lots of stories in my head of, oh, you know, I've backed out too soon, or I've given up, or yeah, lots of internal dialogue, some helpful, some not.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really weird place in my life, a place that I've been to similar places before, but I've, you know, just the nature of life is you've never been in the next moment.
Yeah.
So it's very new.
So taking that step back, leaving, like being on the board, not being part of the day-to-day, what do you think got you to that sort of point? Did you just think like right now is the time?
It's been quite a phased and fairly intentional move. It started a couple of years ago when I was struggling to run the business and to sort of operationally like deliver the product and just yeah make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
When a business gets to a certain size, you know, you there's stuff to do that needs to be done, and you know, and there's people to, you know, there's a team to bring together, and there's, you know, you've got to give people a strategy, what you are doing, what you're not doing. And I was really struggling with that and not enjoying it, and I felt really guilty about that. I felt like I should be enjoying this. I've got everything I ever wanted.
Mm.
You know, since the age of 19, like, I've wanted to build something that I created, that I was able to sort of build the culture of, and that would have an impact on people. It's kind of all I've ever wanted. And my first business failed, and I felt very, you know, very down about that. And a lot of shame, like embarrassed about it, that I'd failed. And so I found myself in the place that I'd always wanted to be, which is I've built something that is a wonderful brand. Like, you know, couldn't dream of a better brand. Like, it's impactful, it's meaningful. You know, we literally create life-changing interactions for people who have conversations with Sanctus coaches that they would never have before, or otherwise wouldn't have. So it kind of couldn't get any better for me. And I built it very much like with my hands. Like, I came up with the brand, the logo, like really poured a lot of myself into it. And then I found myself in a position where I was kind of resenting it. Like, I'm not enjoying what I'm doing every day. So I felt quite trapped. And then, you know, through a lot of support, through coaching and reaching out to kind of advisors and mentors and some of our angel investors and my co-founder, George, I was able to kind of create a way forward for myself where we brought in Chris, our CEO. And yeah, I was able to kind of step aside or step back or down, whatever you want to call it, as being the person that was kind of running the day to day. And then I've kind of continued that transition to being, I suppose, slightly less, even less involved.
Mm-hmm. But in the same thing, it's like you're bringing the value that you can doing the things that you can have the most impact in, I guess.
To be honest, I weirdly feel like I'm doing what I've always done. Like, in a way, I'm still sitting here on a podcast talking about Sanctus. I've been doing that for 5 years. Like, in a way, nothing has changed.
Mm.
Really, everything else I did because I had to.
Yeah.
I was the CEO because I had to be. Mm. I went and raised money because I had to raise money. I went and had customer conversations because that was, you know, what you do when you start something. And over time, you know, I led the marketing team, or I wrote the copy, or I'd do the creative. And yeah, and over time, as Sanctus scales, those roles get taken away and specialists come in and people take them. So you do naturally make yourself redundant, which is fine. That's how it needs to be. Mm. I think also, like, not that I feel like my job is done, but I can really clearly see the role I played and have played over the last 5 or 6 years in the creation of Sanctus, of the brand and of the business. And I'm proud of that. I'm proud of everything I've done and how I did it. I made a load of mistakes along the way, but
God, don't we all?
Kind of for the most part.
But you learn from it.
Yeah, kind of for the most part, I think I acted with integrity and dignity and tried to do my best for the whole, for like all stakeholders. And I suppose I'm kind of like, you know, right now I can see how I'm going to be involved in this way, and I can't actually see another way of me being involved. So it just feels like the right time, really. Mm. And, you know, I don't know what that means for me. Mm. You know, I don't know. I'll be honest, I don't know what that means for Sanctus. Like, it's a whole new chapter. It's, you know, new leadership, new management, new investors that we announced earlier this year. So it's, you know, it's a completely new chapter, and I do not know how that's going to play out. And I suppose that's the admission. It's like, I really don't know. I don't know what it's going to be like for me. Mm. I don't know what I'm going to do with my other 24 days a month, and, you know, where I'm going to live. Loads of I don't knows. And then also for Sanctus, we don't know either. And there's, you know, there's this whole new world for us to step into. And yeah, there's a lot of uncertainty there, basically.
This is probably a bit of a loaded question, because obviously my announcement went out about me leaving, and what you say, and a lot of it resonates. But how do you feel?
Right now? Mm-hmm. It was nice being asked, not just how do I feel, but you know, asking me how I got to that, because it's, you know, it's all just like a bit of a muddle. It's like in my head, and I'm like talking to Sarah about it, who's my fiance, some coaching sessions and mates, and yeah, just kind of like, is it real? Is it happening? And then it's all just like really confusing. It's the best analogy I've got for it that I'm going to write into a post is that for the last 5 years, it's as if I've been in a film, and the film's been called Sanctus, and I've been the main character, right? And like, I'm in it, and there's other characters as well.
You feel like you're Truman.
Yeah, or like Harry Potter or something.
I feel like Truman. I'm scared that I'm Truman in the Truman Show half the time.
And like, and certain characters, there's certain scenes, you know, certain times over the last 5 years, it's like, oh, that time that, you know, we had that crazy year, or, you know, then that was a big scene, and it was like a dramatic fight scene or a love story or whatever. And then I've like, it's as if I've slowly zoomed out, and then I went to like a, I don't know, like a director role. And it's like, okay, I'm still in the film, but I'm not acting in it. I'm like watching it go on. And there is a kind of another world out there, but this is still my world. And now I'm kind of like still on set a little bit. So I step into that world, and yeah, it might be stressful, or it might be exciting, or whatever. So it's a bit, I just feel a bit disorientated, to be honest. And at the same time, for me, I've left London, where I've lived for the last sort of 7 years, 8 years. I'm living with my in-laws. Yeah, just I'm in a really, you know, where do I live? Where do I want to be?
Transition period.
Big transition. So
I can hear you there.
I just feel, it's just a bit disorientating, I suppose. And I suppose I'm a little bit like still searching for validation that I've done the right thing. Mm. To be honest, like I still worry that I've let people down. You know, that I've let the Sanctus team down. That is actually the biggest thing. I've never thought about that, but I really still feel like, have I done something wrong? Have I done something I'll regret?
Mm. I think on the flip side of that, though, you probably would have let them down if you'd carried on the way you were.
I was massively letting them down. Massively letting them down. Holding the business back.
That is exactly how I feel about here. Yeah. It's not that I don't love the business, and it's not that I don't love Social Chain and everything that I've built, but I feel like I'm holding them back now because I've run out of steam. So I've run out of ideas. The business needs to continue to grow. We've got these values of keeping brands at the forefront of what's possible. but I can't keep myself at the forefront of what's possible anymore, and it's not right for me, and it's not right for the business. So I can completely sympathise.
Yeah.
And it's weird.
I still feel pretty, I do still feel a bit confused by it, because it's like, I've got so much love for the business, you know, to an extent that it's a frightening amount. It's like...
It's your baby though.
Yeah, there's this real care that I can't turn off. And I think I've maybe tried to turn it off and tried to detach and tried to disassociate, and I physically cannot not care. And nor do I want to not care, because I love the brand, I love the people, I love the team, I love what we're about, I love what we do. I love literally everything. I just absolutely adore the business. But then the confliction is that I don't feel right there. I suppose, I don't limbo. Feel right there. I feel not in my right place when I'm there, to be honest, which feels really difficult to say and odd. And I kind of, if I'm honest, I wish that wasn't the case. My life would be a lot easier if I wanted to, you know, be the sort of founding swashbuckling CEO of Sanctus that could lead us through the tough times and scale us and be there for life, which is the beautiful drama story we see played out with a unicorn business that the founder's still there and they've managed to transition to a CEO and stuff. And that's definitely where the dark side of social media probably came in for me, where I'm looking at other founders thinking, bloody hell, like, how have they rode the ship?
How can they do it?
And it's just not me. And I suppose I'm getting there and accepting that. Adjusting.
Yeah, and you're taking a bit of time as well as doing the...
I'm not really doing anything. Like,
amazing.
I'm really not. I really can't believe how tired I am. It's frightening. Like, I am just... I mean, I'm energized now being here, but, you know, I could sleep a lot, definitely. Mm. And, yeah, I've just been really tired. Like, kind of in my bones tired. Just tired, like as a default state.
It's like burnout. You burn out.
And I think there's days when my energy could peak and I could have a good day. It's not that I wouldn't have been able to have a good day, but really I'm tired. Like something on a really core level is tired. So just been like, just chilling out, to be honest. Like going to the gym, reading, writing, just trying to indulge in rest, which, you know, but again, to go back to how am I now, I find that hard because I know the Sanctus team aren't resting.
I know, it's so hard.
They're not resting. They'll be working their arse off.
Mm. You feel guilty, don't you?
In our next stage of growth. And yeah, I feel guilty for not being there with them, I suppose.
I can resonate with that as well. Because I feel I'm exactly the same. I'm still in the post. I'm still in the business. I can't really implement much change now because 2022 planning shouldn't come from me. I shouldn't be dictating how things should be run as much because there's a new MD starting in the spring. Mm. I don't want to be adding additional overhead costs by implementing things. And I also want the team to be able to know that they can stand on their own 2 feet while I'm still in the background to help them if they need me. Mm. But there's a balance between feeling really guilty and giving them that space. And it's really weird. And I think when you've been running at a million miles an hour for however long we both have, going then to something that feels really alien, I think is more exhausting than running at a million miles an hour.
Yeah, I mean, I had a coaching session a few weeks ago and I said to my coach, I was like, I just feel like an alien. Like, I feel like I'm on a different planet to like everyone else, because I'm not, other than like, you know, say once a week or for my day a week, I plug into the world of work. other than that, I feel like kind of out of society. Like I honestly feel like an alien, like and she was like, you know, you are. And it kind of like made me feel a bit better. It's like, I know, like I am in a, you know, just naturally, like there's not that many people in the same situation as me. Like, you know, I started something, raised investment on a board. Like that is a unique situation. And that kind of made me feel a bit better. But but the other thing about it is like this sort of like broader societal view we've got about rest, as if like resting is wrong.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I'm fucked. Basically. I don't know if I can swear, but
no, you
I'm
can't swear.
Absolutely knackered. I've been working like a dog for 10 years from literally nothing. Like, you know, went to uni, I didn't know what startups were. I didn't have, you know, my dad didn't invest in my first business. I didn't have a family friend giving me a leg up. It was like, I'm not saying I'm a rags to riches story by any stretch, but, you know, I have built where I've got to completely, you know, I've scrapped for it big time and I'm bloody knackered. And I just have this thing in my head that like, oh no, I'm 30, I should still be going at it. And I'm like, no, I am tired. Yeah. So I'm going to rest. Even if I rest for the whole year and don't really do that much and don't earn that much money, that is absolutely fine. But, you know, I just feel like there's this narrative that's been created that then is sort of infected me, that's like, no, stopping is wrong.
Yeah.
And it's not.
What I found really hard is like people say to me, enjoy it, enjoy this bit. And I'm like, I can't, I need something to do. My brain needs to be doing something. But you're right. Just relaxing into, I think I felt better once everything got announced, because then I felt like I could relax into it. But before then it was like the team didn't know before Christmas. And I felt like if I started relaxing into it, they'd notice something was going. It was just a very odd time.
Yeah.
I've not really reflected on it yet because I'm still in it.
I think the other thing, like I probably wanted for a long time, you know, my sort of colleagues and the Sanctus team to like pat me on the back and say like, oh, thanks so much. Like, you deserve it. And, you know, I look back now and I just think like, what an unfair expectation, to be honest. Like, you know, the people that joined the Sanctus team early on have worked, you know, as hard as I have. And, you know, yeah, I started the business, which adds a different level of responsibility and stress, but I've had the privilege to have this time, and to expect that your employees will then go above and beyond to like coach you through something is just not on, really. So I think I was expecting a lot and too much from the team. And I've definitely moved through the need to get external validation for what I'm doing. And I think I've learned to give that to myself a bit more and kind of, I suppose, give myself what I need rather than ask for permission. You know, it's like that thing of feeling like, you know, you want to take a holiday and you feel like you want your colleagues or your team to say, yeah, definitely go.
Yeah.
You know,
to go. It's okay.
Yeah, actually really, you know, you've got to take ownership and leadership of that. And yeah, I mean, I've had all the anxiety of like, you know, God, what do I do? I've got nothing to do in the day and what will I do next? And I've found a way to just stop and just stay where I'm at for a bit.
What are your big tips for resting then? To not make you feel, what have you found that's been like the thing that's enabled you to rest without feeling the guilt?
Well, I think the thing about rest is like, you know, you automatically just think doing nothing. Stop. Like literally like, you know, couch potato. That is one form of rest from what I can tell. But also, you know, I'm going to the gym every day at the moment. I'm probably working out more than I ever have in my life. Like I feel brilliant. I literally, for the last 5 or 6 years, like working out and exercise has been a chore and it's been something I've been lucky to get into a routine of. So that is restful for me. It's restorative. So, you know, and same, like I'm like reading a lot. I'm not reading books that make me better at my job. I'm just reading stuff that I'm interested in, and I've got time to actually think about that stuff and kind of let it absorb. So that's restful as well. Found like a keyboard in the house at the moment. So I'm like trying to learn to play the keyboard, which I've never, ever done in my life.
Brilliant.
You know, it was my mother-in-law's birthday the other day and I learned how to play Happy Birthday on the keyboard. And again, that's playful.
Yeah.
And that feels like it feels silly.
Yeah.
It feels pointless. Because there's a part of me in my brain going, James, you're not going to be the next John Legend. What's the point? And I'm like, no. I don't
it's
need...
It's not the point.
Yeah, I don't need to try and be the best at the keyboard in the world or start the next keyboard business. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's literally how I've been thinking for the last 10 years with everything I do in my life. So, yeah, that's restful. Mm. Great article on how to rest well, actually. I think it's on, like, psych.com or something. But I read that and it really resonated because it... You know, rest isn't just sleep.
Mm.
It's you know, it's nourishing yourself in it in ways that maybe you haven't had a chance to do.
Brilliant. I think probably we all need that. Whether you're working or whether you're in that transition period or 100%. Wherever you are, I think we do just view rest as Netflix binge. And I think there is so much more that you can get out of it from your brain perspective. I know I'm the same with exercise. If I go and do yoga, I put it off and put it on, put it off. If I go and do it, I feel so much better. It's a different kind of rest. And it's just using your brain in a different way.
Or not.
So I just want to say thank you so much for like the just what you've put out there and the way that you've helped. And the book is amazing, not just because I'm in it, but also just because it's amazing. And the help that you've offered. And I want to... just wish you all the best for this period and in the future. I'm so excited to see what happens next for you.
Me too. I really appreciate the space. I feel kind of lighter from being on here. So
it's like therapy.
Yeah, I feel like I've had a little coaching session, so I appreciate it.
No, wonderful. Thank you so much.
It has been an absolute pleasure having James on the podcast today, and I'm so grateful for him taking the time to come and speak to me, especially in person. It's been so nice to have him because we've not actually met in person. We've only ever met on Zoom, so it was so good to have a good chat in real life. And I'll be back with another episode of I Shouldn't Say This But next week. See you soon.